BYUSN, let's celebrate the good times. Both BYU football and men's basketball coming off incredible seasons. But which team had the more surprising season, we'll discuss. Kansas City Chiefs assistant coach Porter Ellett joins us in Studio B to give us an inside scoop on what it's like to coach with Andy Reid.
A.J. DiBonta breaks down his performance in the McDonald's All-American game and what went into the dunk over Angel Reese. And new women's basketball head coach Lee Kamard picks up his first win. What is it, and why is it a massive deal?
Let's go. Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. Happy Friday, April 4th. I am Spencer Linton, alongside a man who can appreciate a good lawn mowing business. Speaking of Lee Kamard, among other things, he is Jerem Jordan.
Yeah, Lee's lawn care. I am not looking forward to mowing my lawn soon enough. I've enjoyed the break, although I enjoy just throwing in a podcast or whatever and getting after it. Did you know that BYU is the Disneyland of college campuses? It's been called
go.
Yesterday, BYU tweeted this out. The best in the field, literally. BYU's landscaping program just won its 10th national championship for the National Collegiate Landscape competition, their sixth title in the last seventh. Look at all those homies in that photo who are out making this this campus the best looking campus in America, perhaps the world. Another natty in another random thing.
So many places on this campus, if you walk up to and just take like 10 to 15 seconds to survey the backdrop, the land, the amount of care that goes into it, speak to my emotions. It is an incredible effort what they do. Day to day.
Yeah. Another natty. We got one of the best libraries from the Princeton Review. We got obviously Stone Cold Sober with the chocolate milk and everything, which we'd like to celebrate. Now we got the landscaper. So bring on in the lawnmowers. Fire them up. Nope. Congratulations to everybody involved in this.
A unique people and a unique campus.
A power conference in athletics and landscaping.
And landscaping.
That's what we
do. What's the power four conference of landscaping, things we will not discuss on this show.
In Georgia, they're like, we trim the kudzu.
On that note, time to rise and shout. Let's get to what's trending.
Where we were projected four wins, last in the Big 12. That fueled our fires.
What a performance. Like, unbelievable. Oh,
this is a team that was picked ninth in the Big 12. Just proud of the way our guys kept staying with it. And we're one of the last 16 teams standing.
4.5 wins projected for BYU football. 9th place finish projected for BYU men's basketball. Get out of here! Both of those teams had incredible seasons.
We do love the overcoming expectations thing a lot more than we like. Well, you met expectations.
BYU loves
it's
the idea of doing more when they are expected to do less and doing more with a perceived less.
You kick
us
out of Nauvoo, we'll just find our own place in Utah. Like, this is in our DNA, right?
All right, speaking of exceeding expectations, we're going to categorize this in the surprising fashion, Jerem. Mm-hmm. Which of these teams, BYU football or BYU men's basketball, had the more surprising season overall?
To me, it's not close. It's football. Football at 4.5 wins out of the odds, and then 6-6 by a lot of people. We thought 7-5, frankly, would be a step forward. 11-2, are you kidding me? 13th in the AP poll. You end the streak up in Salt Lake against Utah in dramatic fashion. You beat Oklahoma State with this play dramatically.
You started 9-0.
You're 9-0 and in the mix. I mean, you're seeing your name on the college football playoff bracket as
you're
a
number
three seed.
Six overall in that college football playoff poll.
Crazy. Yeah, it was that. Because men's hoops, I said preseason, I thought Sweet 16, which they met. Obviously, there were some ebbs and flows during the season that were fun, you know, and not so fun. As we saw this team grow, and it was amazing. So I'm not shocked or surprised that men's hoops made the Sweet 16. That's what I expected preseason from that team. I thought they'd get to that point. And luckily, they did. It was great. Football was a massive surprise for everybody not on the team. The team expected to be great. And now the chip on the shoulder for them is, as you'll see conversations over the next couple of weeks that we recorded earlier this week, is, hey, we believe we should be in the playoff and in the Big 12 title game this time. We were this close. We think we can recreate that. So it was so fun. Both of these were amazing. More surprising to me was football because the expectations were lower and they superseded our wildest dreams.
BYU football picked to finish 13th in the conference. In the conference? and the 4.5 wins you mentioned, BYU finished number 13 in the country in the final AP poll. Hey, you start picked to finish 13th in your 16-team conference, and you finish just outside the college football playoff. Yes, the clear answer for me is BYU football. It's why I had a freaking T-shirt made that said 4.5 wins, okay?
You need to wear it again at some point.
I will.
To get the value.
Oh, no, I
thing.
Will. Yeah, absolutely. That will come back into play probably a few times over the summer.
It's kind of like when I go to Olive Garden. I eat a ton of breadsticks, eat the salad. Then I'm like, I'm kind of good. I'll just package the rest of this up, and it'll be a second meal. And now I've cut this in half. That's what I'm suggesting with your T-shirt. You wear it a couple of times. The value of that shirt. Yeah, my per show usage is down to $5. Instead of 20 or whatever.
100%.
Or whatever.
Yes, yeah, you go to the effort, get the value out of it. That will come back into play.
I wonder if we're going to enjoy this next year of BYU athletics it'll be a different enjoyment. Because the surprising nature of, wow, Kevin Young and this group were better than we thought. Like, I didn't expect tie for third. I expected Sweet 16, but, like, the journey there was even better. I thought they'd surprise some people in the NCAA tournament or whatever. Football was a massive surprise. It's going to be no surprise BYU's good. So it'll be a different sort of enjoyment when it comes to we expect football to compete for a Big 12 title. That's the expectation, generally speaking, right now, of like 8.5 plus wins. They're probably thinking, no, we're 10.5 wins or whatever. We want to win every game is what they're thinking. Men's basketball, it's like, hey, Sweet 16 plus. It's a different sort of expectation going into next year.
No, without question.
Greatness. And I let's be honest, around these parts, we love a surprise season like that.
Which is why this whole year was so gratifying.
Yes.
From top to bottom. Because it was one big happy surprise
and
the entire year.
Yes. And how many times does BYU have super high expectations and meet them? It is less often than what we saw in the surprise category. You think about the national championship in 84. That was a surprise. You had a lot of carryover from 83, but you didn't with the quarterback, and you lost Todd White, your best linebacker, you know, and whatnot, first rounder. So this next year is going to be interesting because it's how does BYU handle success? Now that they are recruiting at a way higher level and they have bigger, brighter, higher expectations, how do they handle success? I'm excited to watch it happen, but I do want to just point out a massive note. We love a surprise. So this season was very enjoyable that way.
The two of us choosing football over basketball is in no way diminishing what basketball did. When they're 6-6 in Big 12 conference play and then finish 14-6. And, I mean, work wonders late in the season.
Absolutely.
That push late in the season was the most surprising part of the men's basketball season up until BYU maybe got to the Sweet 16, but like you said, you expected this team to make a Sweet 16 push. I was anticipating this team would hopefully win a game and break the streak of not winning a single NCAA tournament game to get into the round of 32 in 14 years. They did that. They surpassed. I think maybe the question here is modified. What would it have taken men's basketball to do surpass BYU football in terms of the surprise?
Yeah, Elite Eight. If they had beaten Alabama.
Then it's like, okay, now you have equaled the surprise because nobody anticipated the second ever Elite Eight in program history.
To me, an Elite Eight is equal to making the playoff.
To me, it's a Sweet 16 almost because there are more basketball. There are three times as many basketball teams as college football teams, and 12 make the playoff in football and 16 make it in basketball. So that's kind of even par for me there just based on the numbers.
Yeah, I just thought Sweet 16 would happen. I didn't like with if we had thought, hey, BYU's going to win 10 games in football, and then they went to 11 and be like, hey, that was great. But it wasn't this massive surprise. Think about BYU went plus 6 in wins in football. What? You have to really stink to be able to do that the year before. And BYU was real close to being a bowl team, right? We've talked about with Oklahoma and Oklahoma State losses late in the year. And basketball, we just thought, they're going to be good. It's going to take a sec and whatnot. And you made a great point of, hey, give them some time here.
Yes.
Are we going to give them time? Next year with AJ, I don't think so. I think we're saying, hey, you got to be good out of the gates.
It depends on who comes back in the roster a little bit.
Also, this thought, football did not have a Richie Saunders or a Yegor Demon type. They had a lot of very good players, but there were no, like, stars, I would say. Like, Tyler Batty was good. Chase Roberts was good. You know, there were a million guys.
Keelan Marion.
Yeah. Like two returns, but there was not a Yegor Demon or Richie Saunders that was making a splash nationally like those guys. Like future projections in the draft,
yes,
or
yes.
whatnot. They had first-team all-conference players, which was great. Tyler Batty, Caleb Etienne, and so on. But the individual sort of star power of basketball, granted, there's only five of you on the court. You don't have a helmet. We see your face. It's just a little different dynamic. I thought football collectively as a team did it in a unique way, which was awesome. And then the emergence of Mr. Orida and what do you call him? The Yegor? What's his nickname?
Oh, the asset?
The asset. The asset.
He's been activated.
He was activated, yeah. Which was fun. Like, that was a sort of different flavor of surprise of what is Yegor? What's he going to look like? Richie's the best player on the team? Like, that was a fun journey.
To be fair to men's basketball, because I know some of you are suggesting that, well, did anybody expect Kevin Young to be the coach? And they're going all the way back to last April as, like, the surprise factor of the season.
Oh, right.
Sure. With all of the changes.
I sort of picked up at like November 1st
too.
Or whatever.
I did too. But inevitably that will come into the conversation. Well, Sure. Nobody knew when Mark Pope left. Yes.
Oh, in that regard, you could argue hard for men's basketball. That's fine. Move the posts where you want them. Like, that's great. That's fine. This is a talk show. It's April 4th. It's not a big deal. Like, we're not stressing out over the parameters of the conversation here.
You know what's glorious here is that...
Look at that graphic.
Exactly. I was just going to say that. We are looking at wild numbers for both of these teams.
There's a certain school who talked a big talk walking into the league and didn't do jack squat in these two sports.
Isn't it interesting, it was fun for BYU
to do it.
Both of those teams had the equal 9-game win streak. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
And where will BYU men's basketball finish in the final AP poll? If it's number 13, come on.
Yeah. I wonder where they will. They were, what, 17 going into the tourney, I think? Yeah.
They beat number 13 Wisconsin head-to-head. So
I would hope BYU's
that should help.
I would hope BYU's top 15 in the final AP poll, which we expect, what, Tuesday?
Yes.
They don't do it like Monday night right after the national title game.
We're counting down to that final AP poll. We're also counting down to another notable date on the calendars. It's been a minute. Hit it.
Countdown to the Vikings.
148. We missed the 150.
Doesn't matter.
On Wednesday.
I like random numbers better.
Yeah, we weren't thinking about it, which kind of is great. I don't want to do this every day. We used to do it. We were both gone. It is funny, some of the other because we sing it.
Yes.
There's some of the other hosts that refuse to sing. And there's people
like Party Poopers.
And there's people like Brian Logan that we don't want to sing. Just saying.
It was better that it turned out this way. It's better this way. 148.
So random.
Everybody remember on April 4th, it was exactly 148 days away.
Please don't.
Our question of the day, in your opinion, who had the more surprising season overall? Is it BYU men's basketball, Sweet 16 run, incredible 9-game win streak late in the season, or BYU football, projected 4.5 wins when the season began, picked 13th in the conference. They finished number 13 overall and go 11-2. At Gen X, BYU fan on X says, and I'm guessing they're Generation X, football, the level of change going from a 5-7 team to an 11-2 team, plus 6, as you mentioned, in the win category,
Jeremy,
was amazing this year. With basketball, I think we as fans already had a core group that, we as a team had a core group that demonstrated success the year prior.
Is plus 6 the second best in BYU history? Because you think about 14-1 after, what was that? Was it 7-5, I want to say, in 95? 7-4? To go plus 7 because you play 15 games.
2000, Lavelle Sosa, they were 6-6, and then they won 12. So there's a plus 6.
So is it tied for second maybe in BYU history in the more wins the next year stat?
Wow. Potentially.
It's crazy.
To your point, it doesn't happen often.
You have to stink and then be great. So like
making a
that
considerable
juxtaposition
raise.
Is it's a good feeling.
All right. At a wise run on X answers basketball. Just merely because it was year one. Speaking of the staff and Kevin Young.
It's hard not to get stoked about that and the number one recruit in the country joining, which he's going to join the program coming up. Pretty awesome.
Weigh in on X, Facebook, and Instagram to join that conversation.
Sister Kaylee Woolston, who's in the Baltimore mission, serving for the Church of Jesus
Let's
Christ.
Let's go O's!
Maybe she's an O's fan now. Removed her name from the transfer portal, as reported by Talia Goodman on On3 Sports. Did Lee Kamar just record his first win?
Yes. Victory for Lee. And you and I, not surprisingly, when we were discussing last week, okay, what makes you most excited about this hire? We both were like, Kaylee Woolston!
Retained Delaney
Kaylee Woolston and Delaney Gibb!
Yep.
And he did it.
Yep, he did it.
So fast. Yeah, you should count this as a win. We're talking about one of the premier three-point shooters in the entire game of women's college basketball.
The best shooter her freshman year last year. 46.6%, Spence. She had a 26-piece at Kansas. How about a double-double against UVU? She's a two-guard, by the way. 56% of her shots are from three. In the 180 metric, field goal percentage, three-point percentage,
yep.
free throw percentage,
yep.
she's 177.
Let's go. She will be 180. She will be.
She's going to be a 180 shooter. She's going to return during the season, so not expected to play in the next season. But she'll get back in shape and be ready to go, man. I can't wait to see Delaney Gibb as a junior and Kayla Wilson as a sophomore and other amazing pieces around them.
That backcourt is
legit.
Very exciting.
Very legit.
It's very exciting.
Yep.
Like all conference players we're talking about as they push forward.
Now we're talking about the NCAA tournament.
Yes, we are.
That's a team that should be expected to make
the
journey.
It's been a while. 2019.
Yep.
It's been a minute.
That's way too long.
Right? All right.
2019? What?
After that magical season with Shaylee Gonzalez and Paisley Harding.
That was that long ago?
It was 2019.
What happened?
It's been a little while. Let's go.
Jeez.
Get the team back on track. Okay, continuing on.
Wow.
Speaking of the NCAA tournament, it is Final Four weekend. I don't even...
General Conference weekend, but yeah.
I am guessing that I absolutely know the answer to this question, Jeremy, but I'm just going to ask it for the sake of the show and our audience. Are you rooting for Houston this weekend in the Final Four?
Yeah, I want the Big 12 to wrap, and I picked Houston to win it.
Yep.
I do think they're going to lose to Duke, though. Having seen Duke in person,
this just legit. Duke is really good.
Yeah. Duke's one of the greatest teams by efficiency margin in the history of the NCAA this year. They're amazing. But that defense can win you some games. They just can't go through a big lull on
that. And that's what Houston does. Like, they just have these scoring droughts sometimes. It's like, ugh.
Yeah.
Like, what's going on? The defense will always be there. Can their offense be good enough? Can they get hot? Can Emmanuel Sharpe and LJ Cryer in that guard line? Can they get Milo Susan?
Yeah.
Can those guards
yep.
keep pace with Duke when Duke is rolling on offense?
Yeah. And Houston has a little more experience than Duke. Duke's a little younger, but they've got like four lottery picks and the number one pick. Future Jazz man, Cooper Flagg. We hope.
just maybe. We're all in on the Cougs,
yes,
okay? Of course we're rooting for Houston
yeah,
this
go
weekend.
Cougs. That's what we said, right? Go Cougs. Jimmer has a perfect Final Four bracket. Does this add to his greatness?
Yes. Jimmer knows ball. I saw about 78 of those posts, quote tweeting the post you're seeing from at March Madness MBB. Joining Tyrod Taylor and Quinshon, is it Johnson? Yeah.
Judkins.
Judkins. Oh, yeah. Sorry. Judkins from Ohio State. Jimmer does know ball.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
We're going to have to we need to look at his bracket closely. Who does he have winning it? Should we go all in on like Jimmer knowing it to the point where we are following it and believing that he's going to
get the Final Four? You're good. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. No, he's good.
We've already declared greatness.
Yeah, he's great. We love Jimmer.
Jimmer good at basketball, also good at picking the basketball.
He has Duke winning it. Oh, he didn't have Brigham, remember? Trevor Nell's like, what's up with that?
Yeah, Jimmer, come on, man. On Monday, April 7th, the final ruling on the terms of the proposed House versus NCAA settlement is expected, which addresses the compensation of college athletes for the use of their NIL. Oh, yes. Name, image, likeness, and the funds that go behind it. How might this impact BYU recruiting?
Let's talk about it. So the NCAA is allowing athletes to negotiate NIL payments before they enroll. This is new. So a player can have a sort of contract with the school if they end up going there and what that will look like. So April 7th, there could be some governance around how NIL works with collectives, athletes, and whatnot. So what they're trying to do is get something done by April 7th so they're grandfathered in already negotiated and formalized deals once they go there.
So if you're a recruit and you sign on before April 7th, you're granted more liberties?
If you have an agreement, I think, is the understanding I have. There's a quarterback and a tight end of note that BYU is pursuing and feel like they're definitely in the mix for that we could see, who knows, commit before then. Depends on what those athletes want to do. I know the tight end is announcing early next week. Not sure on the quarterback. He has official visits to many places, one of which is BYU. Very excited about it, though, because things seem to be tipping in the right direction. So we'll see what happens on or before April 7th.
Yeah, how much does this push them to expedite things so that they can enjoy that grandfathered element of, hey, I was in before the date.
Yeah.
You got to treat me differently. Like it's an interesting point.
Yep.
Right? That's why we're talking about it. And this could be beneficial for some guys that maybe are like on the fence. It's like, you got to go. If you want this, you got to go now. Like, can BYU take advantage? We'll see.
I think they will.
Okay.
And I think they are right now. Number 7, men's volleyball hosts number 12, Stanford tonight, 9 Eastern on the BYU TV app. Night 2, BYU got a sweep last night.
Well done.
Guest analyst Joe Hillman and John Alleman will join me in the booth.
I love the three-man booth.
Yeah, three-man
booth.
Come on. I might not get a word in tonight.
Up next, it's about time this guy was in studio. Kansas City Chiefs assistant coach Porter Ellett.
Hey.
What's it like coaching with Andy Reid? And what's NFL draft month like? This is BYU Sports Nation. Back to BYU Sports Nation.
Just holding some Super Bowl rings here. Just
came across a few Super Bowl rings.
Super normal day.
By random over here in the Cougar Council Room.
Yeah, they just happened to be over here.
And you know who else just so happens to be here? The three-time Super Bowl champion assistant coach of the Kansas City Chiefs. He is Porter Ellett.
Let's go. Porter Ellett's in the house. What up, Porter?
Softball teammate, most important.
Let's go!
We played intramural softball, and I thought that was the peak of my life, and then you go on to win three rings here.
It's a debate. We got a shirt for that.
We did get a shirt up there.
That was a good team.
It was a good team we had. This might be the only softball team we had two one-handed players on the softball team.
That's right. Yes.
And one.
Yes.
And one. It was awesome.
Credit to you. He's a great athlete.
These are incredible, by the way. Thanks for bringing these in. Super cool.
How do these compare to that intramural t-shirt?
Well, you know, they're on the same mantle. These set on top of
the shirt. It's all winning at what level you're at. Yeah.
It's all about the journey.
Absolutely. If you haven't seen the deep blue on Porter, you got to check it out. But what Andy Reid calls you is left-hand man?
Yes.
Is that what he said?
Yeah, left-hand man.
So he used to be the – here we go. Check this out. A lot of sparkle here. I don't see we haven't seen this amount of sparkle in here since that one sequin shirt you wore that one time, Spence.
You love that shirt.
Day.
You love that shirt.
I thought I made that up, but apparently you actually came in. You've evolved from not just like executive assistant to actually like coach. You're on the staff. What's that been like? And obviously awesome. With the Chiefs, you guys have been unbelievable.
Yeah, it's been awesome. I mean, the journey with Coach Reid and then the trust he puts in me, you know, to be able to do that is pretty special, I think. So I just try to work every day to make him right. You know, if he's going to trust me to coach running backs,
yeah,
try to make it right. You moved me to special teams, so try to make him right. But you just got to love Coach Reid, you know, everything he stands for, who he is, and then just being a part of such a great team, great players, great people.
Let's walk through your timeline with Coach Reid, because you were his, and again, this is where the oft-used moniker left-hand man comes from, because you were his high-level personal assistant.
Mm-hmm.
And then you mentioned the two different groups you've coached, special teams and running backs. So how are your responsibilities shifting? Are they the same going into next year, or is there going to be something different? And walk us through that timeline once again.
Yeah, so I got hired as Coach Reid's executive assistant. So 3 years. We won the first Super Bowl my last year in that position. So 2019, got to go down to Miami and win one, which was pretty special. And then after that, he moved me to offensive quality control, which in college terms is like an analyst. I worked with running backs and quarterbacks the first year. So I got to work with Patrick and sat in all the meetings. And then after that, I was with running backs and tight ends for a couple more seasons. So Travis, Isaiah Pacheco, you know, got to work with all those great guys. And then this last 2 years, I was just running backs.
Yeah.
So got to coach them and work with them. And then just barely moved to special teams. So get to work with, you know, the whole team essentially. Which will be fun and be able to learn something new, you know, special teams, a new world.
It's been fun to have some BYU guys over the years. So just clear the air here. Is there special treatment for the Cougs or no?
I mean, you always need a couple Cougs on the team. You know? I'll tell you what, there's not a lot of Utes on the team.
I love that so much. It's been fun to see, obviously, you know, Dirty Dan, Daniel Sorensen, and Matt Bushman, and Kingsley Suamatia now, and yourself on the staff.
Zane Anderson.
Zane, of course. The Zane train was in there. There have been some cool moments, too, where you guys had some really special, like, sacrament meetings on Super Bowl mornings.
Yes.
Which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Not everyone in the NFL sort of understands what that's
no,
about.
No, yeah.
Right?
So, and there's a lot of people that are there for the Super Bowl. So, I mean, the congregation was, like, 100 people.
Oh, that many. Yeah. Family, friends, everybody in town.
Yeah, so they traveled. And then the one we actually named my son. So, and then went out and won the Super Bowl that night.
What a day.
That was a good day.
Wow, what a day.
Yes.
Man.
Yeah,
cool.
Had you lost, like, you can't lose on that day now.
You talk about pressure, man. Kid's born a loser. So, no, but thankfully, Griffin's a winner. Griffin's in there.
You slip a Griffin, Patrick Mahomes. Whoa, what was that? That's crazy. Feeling it.
Oh, Porter Ellett, Kansas City Chiefs assistant coach, now working with the special teams, is with us on BYU Sports Nation. When you work around and with guys like Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce, and now they have obviously their Big 12 backgrounds and BYU's in the Big 12. What are those conversations like, Porter? What's the trash talk like with those guys being in the same college football conference as BYU now?
Well, I mean, there's no shortage for sure. Like every time you run into them, like, what do you think of Cincinnati this year? How are they going to be? And we try to slow play it till the day of the game. And then it's like, all right, no, it's all in. We're beating you. You're beating us. So it's a lot of fun. I mean, and then you know, you work out little, hey, you know, you got to wear a BYU shirt if we lose, or you got to wear a jersey.
Travis did on the podcast.
Yeah, he lived up to his side of the deal, which was awesome.
Very cool.
So, and they even said, I mean, they got his name on the back, everything. Chad Lewis helped out with that.
Yeah.
So, and he was like, I don't know how they did that, but it was awesome. So, yeah, no, there's plenty of trash talk. And I love that about the Big 12. I love the conference we're in. A lot of good teams, a lot of good players, and then a lot of pro players that come out of there. So you can continue to, hey, you know, we got you this week. What's
up? Still some conversation, which is great. Tell us about the culture there, because it feels like it's really good. It's really positive, good vibes. And obviously that helps, you know, winning breeds that, and that helps breed winning too.
Yes, and I think obviously Coach Reed at the top, but the spirit that he brings into everything as far as it's football focused, it's winning focused, and guys can come in and trust that we're going to talk football, right? Like we're going to ignore everything outside that maybe is a lot of noise, a lot of distractions going on, which can happen, but we're going to play football and we're going to let the best guys do what they do best, and we're going to trust them. And Coach loves his players. Mm-hmm. We all love our players. And when you walk into an environment like that where you feel loved and you feel important, it's hard not to have a good time, you know.
I loved his response when someone asked him his favorite trilogy or whatever. Yeah. And he said the Book of Mormon, the Doctrine and Covenants, the Pearl of Great Price. Yeah. Like, that was a great answer.
Yes, yes. And like, it's genuine.
Yeah.
Right? It's and genuine.
The very next day we talked about it. And he was like, did you hear my answer? I was like, yeah, I thought it was awesome. And he was like, I mean, I don't do a lot of trilogies, so that was the first one that came to mind. So,
I love that that was on his mind.
Yeah, and that he's not afraid to say it.
Right? Because awesome. He doesn't realize it, or, well, actually, he probably does. He's one of the greatest ambassadors for the church that exists, mm-hmm. in terms of popularity and a vehicle to talk about it, mm-hmm. which is special, and he does a great job.
Yeah.
What's NFL draft week like for you? Because it approaches now quickly here as we push later into the spring. So what's your role, and how are you involved in that? And just what are the emotions of that week like for you and the Chiefs?
Yeah, it's awesome. I mean, it's one of those things, the NFL, you never get tired of what you're doing. Because every year there's new guys, new players, new people that come in. So it's like a new beginning. You know, you have all these new guys. It's awesome to be a part of. But then it's a lot of work. I mean, we watch film on – Brett Veach does a great job of at least making the coaches feel like they matter, you know. So we watch the tape, we evaluate these guys, and he'll walk into my office and ask, you know, what about this guy? What do you think? And, you know, you feel like you're important. And then draft night comes, and you never know. People are always like, who are you going to draft? Who do you think? It all depends on what every other team does.
Yes.
Like, I have no idea. I could tell you, you know, at this position we could use a guy, or this position we could use a guy. But, like, it all depends on what happens in front of us.
There are like 17 contingencies.
Yes. And you rank guys and you hope for the best. And then hopefully you get a bunch of good players in. And then the things that we do obviously help. Coach Reed brings in guys with good personalities. And then you try to just make the most of it.
And you never have like a high draft pick, because you guys are always so good. Yeah. It's always at the end of the first. So it's like, who's around? What do we need? Kingsley Suamataia got drafted. He's been with the Chiefs. What's the journey been like for him after year one?
Yeah, I think, you know, he's learning, he's growing, as all rookies do. He's going to be a good player in the NFL. He's going to do a good job for us, and he's had the right attitude. He's worked hard. It's a humbling experience, the NFL, coaches and players included. Like, it's the best in the world at every position, every coaching position, and that's hard. It's hard to go in and just jump in and think like, oh, I got this, especially at tackle.
I'm going to need you to protect Patrick Mahomes. No big deal.
No big deal.
His blind side.
And these DNs are, you know, they're just the greatest that have ever done it. So he does a great job, and he's going to be a great player for us. And I love his attitude. Yeah. I love that, you know, he came out and he's going to fight. And
had a tough rookie season. Yep.
Yes.
But he's in it, which
I also love that he married an athlete as well, a basketball player. Yep. So it's fun to. We'll be recruiting those kids.
Yeah. On the road, right? Exactly.
No question. Porter Ellett is on BYU Sports Nation. As we wrap up, I want to bring up something that I heard Patrick Mahomes say in the NFL Films piece that was done on you a few months back, where he said, I believe Porter Elliott is going to be a great coach in this league and a head coach in this league at some point. That's a weighty compliment for you, Porter. So what's that like for you to hear a guy of his magnitude value you that way?
Yeah, it's pretty special, you know, and I didn't pay him to say anything like that, so, but I mean, it's really kind of him, yeah. First off, but then I hope to live up to, you know, that kind of statement. You know, like, Patrick doesn't just throw things out there or say things, so he says what he feels, and hopefully one day I can do that, and hopefully I can make, you know, him proud and everybody else proud, but until then, I'm just going to try to focus on, you know, special teams this year, doing the things right. Focus on our gunners, doing a good job, you know, blocking punts, returning punts, you know, like that. That's all I'm really focused on right now. But I love it. I love being able to work with the people I do, Patrick included. But and I love football and love to win.
Porter, there's a good chance Taysom Hill might be on the free agent market. I'm just throwing it out there.
Let's get Taysom to Kansas City. He can't comment on
it. And he plays special teams.
I'm just talking about a switchblade, man. That guy does everything.
Right? He's awesome.
Just throwing it out
Swiss
there.
Swiss Army knife.
Yes. It's been fun to see your journey. Like, literally, we're playing on a Sapo intramural team, and now you have 3 Super Bowl rings. I mean, life's good.
Yeah.
Life's
good. It's crazy. And look at you guys. Proud of you guys. This is awesome.
We haven't won anything, but we're here having fun. Yeah. Well, thanks for coming in, and we love seeing these, and we will give these back to you in like a minute after we take some pictures. So, Porter, thanks for the time, man. Thanks for coming in.
Great to talk to you, brother.
It's a blessing to be here.
Baseball taking on TCU on the road, game 3 of the series tomorrow at 3 Eastern on the BYU Radio app and ESPN+.
BYU men's volleyball picks up a big win in dominant fashion last night, but what was the best moment of last night's game on Elaine Michaelis Court? Headlines are next. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. We are live in Studio B. Happy Friday, everyone. Here is Jerem Jordan. I am Spencer Linton. Feels like a great time to roll out today's headlines.
Sister Kaylee Woolston removed her name from the transfer portal, as reported by Talia Goodman of On3 Sports. She averaged 13 a game, was the nation's top three-point shooter by percentage at almost 47% as a freshman. She's amazing. Currently serving mission in Baltimore. She'll have 3 seasons of eligibility. Not expected to play this coming season because she returns during the season.
Number 7 BYU men's volleyball sweeps 12th-ranked Stanford last night. Dominant win at the Smithfield House. Cougars recorded the second highest hitting percentage of the year as a team at a clip of 400. Luke Benson and Mix Rominus each recorded 12 kills to lead BYU. The highlight of the night, probably beautiful imagery here. BYU Athletics leaving a bouquet in an empty seat courtside in honor of the great Elaine Michaelis. Wow. BYU and Stanford will go head-to-head again tonight, 9 Eastern. Watch it on the BYU TV app.
Gymnastics put up a 196 at NCAA Regionals, finishing 4th place to end the season last night in Salt Lake City. Congrats to the team on another good season, qualifying for yet another NCAA Regional.
And they beat Utah State to get to that round last night.
Absolutely.
BYU baseball drops both games in yesterday's doubleheader in conference at TCU, losing game 1 11-6 and game 2 8-0. With those losses, BYU drops to 4-6 in Big 12 play this season. Due to weather, the teams will have today off before finalizing their 3-game set tomorrow at 3 Eastern on the BYU Radio app and ESPN+.
Softball dropped game 1 at Iowa State, 5-3. Cougars have lost 4-5, or 5-5 in the Big 12. Game 2 is tonight, 6 Eastern on ESPN+.
Let's go. Time to bounce back. Mm-hmm. Men's and women's track and field will both compete at 2 different invitationals this weekend, split between the Stanford invite, hosted by, not surprisingly, Stanford, and the Triton Invitational, hosted by UC San Diego. Competition begins today and runs through tomorrow.
Women's tennis came up short on the road at Kansas State yesterday, lost 4-3 to snap a 5-match Big 12 win streak. Cougars look to get back in the win column tomorrow in the final road match of the season at Oklahoma State.
Number 55 women's tennis.
Jim. Nice. You know I love outside the top 25.
Rankings are different in tennis. BYU men's tennis dropped their 3rd straight match, losing 4-2 at Arizona State yesterday. They're back in action tomorrow on the road. Tough challenge at number 11, Arizona.
Women's volleyball head coach Heather Olmstead has been named the U.S. Women's U21 National Team head coach for this summer's NORSECA Pan American Cup. USA Volleyball announced earlier this week. Congratulations.
And as mentioned earlier in the show, BYU's landscaping team won its 10th national championship. They've won 6 out of the last 7. It's a dynasty.
Porter Elliott's sister-in-law works with them.
Of course she does. Yeah. Championship family.
Uh-huh. Exactly. A lot of rings there.
Hang a banner. Where do you hang a banner if you're a landscaping
expert? Just on a tree in the middle of campus.
Like the most prominent, beautiful
thing
on
Brigham Square outside of.
Hang a banner.
Outside the library. Let's go.
After the break, Jerem goes one-on-one with A.J. DiBonsa, specifically talking about his McDonald's All-American performance in that game. And what went into the dunk jumping over Angel Reese? Stay with us.
I'm loving it.
BYU basketball signee, the number one recruit in the country. He is A.J. DiBonsa.
BYU is going to have a lot of fun watching this game next season.
Yes, we will. Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. Jerem Jordan alongside Spencer Linton. A.J. DiBonsa was a busy dude last week. He went to BYU Sweet 16 game. He was in New York and Brooklyn for the McDonald's All-American game, the dunk contest. He even worked at a McDonald's earlier in the month in St. George. I spoke with A.J. about all that and more yesterday. A.J., great to see you again, man. It was good to see you in person in Newark. How was the trip out there? McDonald's All-American game and a fun week for you.
That was a fun week. We got to watch, me and my family got to watch BYU live for like fourth time. It just sucks that Alabama had to just break the record on us.
Right.
I mean, it's just, it's very hard to win when a team is shooting 50% or more from the 3-point line. I mean, kudos to them, but I mean, we had a great run for KY's first year. Sweet 16 run is great. And we're just going to keep building for next year.
Absolutely. I think people are excited about building off that, and that's just the beginning, which is exciting. Let's talk about your week. So you were in Newark for the game. That was on Thursday. And then, hey, the McDonald's All-American game on Tuesday. You had the dunk contest and practices. So what was the best part about being in that whole experience?
No, it was just fun being surrounded by that much talent and the coaches. Practices were very competitive with my squad. I mean, we won the game, so you already know how practices went. It was very competitive for both sides, offense and defense. The dunk contest, I did not win. I was planning on winning, but, like, the dunk I did the second round was, like, super hard. And, like, that was, like, my motto going into it. Like, if I was going to make big, miss big, so if I was going to miss big, nobody else on the panel can even try the dunk that I did. So, I mean, didn't win that, but we won the game, which was the most important part. So, yeah.
Let's talk about the dunk. You dunked and jumped over Angel Reese. How did you come up with that one? And was she super willing to do it? Or was it hard to get her to stand there and have you jump over her?
Nah, my thought process was the first dunk, jump over the tallest person that's judging. And it just happened to be Angel.
Nice.
So, yeah, it wasn't really that hard. She was willing. She had trust in me for some reason. I don't know why she had.
Do you know her at all? Or she's just like, okay, sure.
No, that was my first time meeting her. I mean, nice. I think we've seen her, like, I mean, obviously, we probably see each other on the internet, but that was my first time, like, meeting her in person.
Were you nervous, or were you like, no, I'm going to nail this?
No, I jump over people taller, so, like, I knew I was going to make the dunk. It was just about not hurting her.
Yeah. You put your hand on her shoulder just to make sure, right?
Yeah. Because if I didn't, like, she is, like, 6'4"-ish. So if I didn't, I didn't want to, like, hit it. So.
Who's the tallest person you've dunked over?
Footer, I think like 7 foot.
Wow.
Yeah.
So what's your top height you've touched, by the way?
I couldn't even tell you. Probably like near the top of the backboard.
Really?
Not at the backboard yet, but near there. So like 10 something.
That's pretty good. They said of David Thompson, NC State back in the day, played in the NBA, that he would jump up with a dollar and leave 4 quarters on the top of the backboard. So I expect that at some point from you. That's the tale that was told with David Thompson. But, yeah. Let's talk about the game itself. 17 points, 7 of 12 from the field, 5 rebounds. You started the game with a dunk. You ended it with a dunk, which I think is kind of nice. How'd you feel about the performance in the McDonald's All-American game?
I definitely good. Just playing with those great guys, like, I mean, everybody has a role. So, I mean, you just got to find that role with what the coach gave you in practice, what you got to do. And I just did that to my full potential. I was trying to guard. I mean, I can't really say the best player on the floor because all of them are there for a reason. So I was trying to take different matchups and try to take them into harder shots and just make easy shots. So I made over half my shots. So that was really the goal for me. and just grab 5+ rebounds, which I did. So had a couple assists, and I think I played pretty good.
Is it competitive? Is it that and friendly? Is it what's the emotional vibe with those guys? Because you know these guys from growing up and playing with and against them, and you're going to play with and against them in the future, not only in college but in the NBA. What's the kind of emotional vibe with that group of talented guys?
No, yeah, I think we all pretty much know each other. So, I mean, the good thing about our class is we're all friends off the court, but when it's on the court, like, there's – it's just like we're trying to win the game. The East is trying to beat the West. The West is trying to beat the East.
Love that vibe. Can't wait to see, you know, Darren Peterson and a bunch of the guys in the Big 12. Big 12 had the most McDonald's All-American. There's a little Big 12 pride there, I think, right?
Yeah, we had Darren, me, Tunde, Sean, Isaiah, and Chris Sinek.
Not bad.
I think that's it, yeah.
Kansas, Houston, Baylor, BYU, some of the teams in the Big 12 repping there, which is pretty cool. I'm talking to AJ DeBonta on BYU Sports Nation. I love how hard you go to the rack. Like, your acceleration, deceleration, floater, dunk game, finish game, it's all awesome. When did you make that a priority? Because it feels like once you get going and go downhill, you're pretty hard to stop.
I mean, that's always been, like, my play style. I just developed, like, learning how to shoot, like, ninth grade year. So, I mean, if the shot is open, I'll take it. But if there's a driving lane open, I'm going to take the driving lane. So, clearly in that game, with all the space on the floor, and we're not all used to playing on that space. Now, not a lot of guys took – let me not say took – like not a lot of guys were in gaps because the closeout was so long. So, I took advantage of that, and I think all my points were in the paint, except for, like, one. Like, it was, like, a little floater. So, I mean, I just took advantage of the rim and just attacked the rim relentlessly.
What's harder, to hit a three-pointer on somebody or use up the energy and effort that it takes to get in the paint and then finish?
No, they're both equally as hard, especially with the line farther back on that court. I think it's pretty equivalent.
Was it a college line or an NBA line?
No, it was college.
It was college line. Gotcha. Preparing for the next level. I love that. You're going to thrive in that spacing, by the way, especially in college and in the NBA. It's going to be fun, man. I saw the video of you working at McDonald's in St. George. What was that like?
No, it was fun. a lot of respect to those people that work there because it's very tired. It's very hot in there. But I feel like I did a good job.
What did you do a good job at the best?
Not messing up any orders.
That's key, right? Get all the items in there. What was hard about that process other than, like, hey, you're on your feet and it's hot?
No, I think the heat. Like, when you're making the food, I think, like, I did drive-through for, like, 45 minutes. So, like, that was, like, the easiest part. But when you're, like, I cook, like, a burger. Like, when you're cooking all that food, it's super hot.
Mm. You have respect for those guys. Yeah, absolutely. Shout-out to all the fast food homies. We appreciate it, man. It's awesome. I saw the video as well that I think was from what, All-Star Weekend with Kevin Durant? What was it like to sit down with your idol?
No, I felt good being able to just connect, ask questions, talk basketball. That's what it's all about. So it was just a blessing just being able to be in that space with him.
He mentioned he still wants to be in his prime when guys like you enter the league. He still should be in 2 years, right?
Oh, yeah. This is probably still his prime.
Right.
He plays, like, I'm not gonna say he plays the same way because obviously he's less athletic with, you know, the injuries that he's dealt with, but he's very close to playing the same way. He still shoots the same shots, still makes the same shots.
Got a little ankle injury. He's out right now, but he should be back soon. You mentioned it. You weren't gonna ask the good questions to him because you wanted to do that offline. Will you give me a sense of some of the questions you asked him later?
I mean, they're all basketball related. It was just, like, more specific, what do you do on the court here, 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 here. Mm. Like, it was just specific.
And that's fun to be able to pick his brain. I know you know a lot of NBA guys. What's it like to kind of have them at your disposal to pick their brain and then eventually you're going to play with and compete against them?
That's fun. I've definitely already connected with some of them, already asked questions, and they were willingly – allowing me to respond. They responded quick. They responded within a day. And I used and applied them. So I texted them during my Utah prep season, and I tried to apply as much as I could.
That's awesome, man. AJ DeBonta's on BYU Sports Nation. it feels like, you know, a certain generation is like MJ's the GOAT, and then the younger generation is like LeBron's the GOAT. Are you LeBron's the GOAT guy?
I'm actually Michael Jordan is the GOAT guy.
Look at you.
Yeah.
AJ, honestly, kids growing up now, it's mostly, hey, LeBron. I'm a Michael Jordan guy. My last name's Jordan. Grew up with Jordan. I love Michael Jordan. Why do you feel like MJ's the GOAT versus LeBron?
I mean, I was always pro LeBron, but if you were to ask me, I always say 1A, 1B. But
it's fair.
In this, since my dad was always like MJ, 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 and I never watched MJ, and then The Last Dance came out, and that kind of gave me like a little bit more of the edge. But it's still 1A, 1B because LeBron is still breaking records day by day, so you can't even knock that off of him. But I would say Mike. If I had to choose one, I'd say Mike, but it's really 1A, 1B.
It's a fun debate, and I like that you'd like The Last Dance because Michael famously said, and I took that personally, he just found reasons to be fired up, even if someone looked at him the wrong way. It was crazy. I loved The Last Dance, too. I even named my son Tate Michael Jordan, so that's how much I like Michael Jordan. It was announced this week that BYU is going to play Nebraska in an exhibition game. That'll be your first kind of public debut in a BYU uniform. How do you feel about the Big Ten matchup in Lincoln, Nebraska, to start things off?
Wait, when is that?
We don't know exactly, but probably late October, early November would be my guess. And then the season opener we know is Villanova. But how are you feeling about competing against a Big Ten team to start things?
No, it's good. Big Ten is also one of the better conferences. It's good to play against big-time schools in the beginning of the year. Solidify that rank for the tournament early. I mean, it should be fun. I don't know who they have right now because of the portal, but we'll find out. We'll do our film, and we should hopefully get that win. Even though if it's an exhibition, we should still want to shoot to win.
Now that it's portal season and guys will try and test the NBA waters, how actively are you texting or communicating with guys like Yegor Demin and Richie Saunders?
No, I'll let them handle what they need to handle. If they want to come back, if they want to pursue their dreams, they can pursue their dreams. Obviously, I want to play with both of them, but I'm not going to be that guy to sit here and pressure them to come back.
A little bit of pressure would be awesome, though, right? Like, hey, look what we could do.
Honestly, I wouldn't want to, but like, yeah. if I had like those aspirations and like people are like blowing up my phone, be like, Joe, please stay for one more. Like, you don't know what next year's gonna hold. So
yeah, you're gonna be on campus at the end of the month in spring classes. What are you looking forward to the most about being on campus at BYU and in classes and in the gym?
Just getting that relationship early. I know a lot of guys start in like June. Like summertime-ish, so being able to be there for like 2 months prior and just get a taste of the energy, what classes are like, where classes are at, should be an easier path down the road.
Let me know if you need to know where a certain building is. I got you as a graduate here. So, AJ, this is our last time hanging out on Zoom. Next time, I think you should be in studio, which would be great.
It should be. It is April 3rd. Yeah, it should be.
Let's go. AJ, we appreciate the time, man. Best of luck with everything down at Utah Prep.
Thank you.
AJ DeBonta up next for him, by the way. The Hoop Summit April 12th in Portland. The Jordan Classic April 18th in D.C. He enrolls in classes. He'll be here April 29th.
And he's still going international this summer. Let's go. He's got international basketball as well.
Repping USA. Awesome.
After the break, who do you believe had the more surprising season? BYU football or BYU men's basketball? More responses to our question of the day. This is BYUSN.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back to BYUSN with our question of the day. In your opinion, who had the more surprising season, BYU football or BYU men's basketball? There are no wrong answers, so just answer the question. Our elite voice of the day, presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated, comes in from at ShannonLucas97 with one of the greatest memes ever. Two options. You got to pick one button, BYU football or BYU basketball.
I'm sweating.
Me right now, just feeling all of the things. Today's Rise and Shout Out presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
Ashley Hatch was with the USA Women's National Soccer Team at the Lakers game. Got a Lakers jersey with their name on it. And then prayers up for our boy Cam True of Bam Bam's Barbecue. Got into a serious snowboarding accident in Reno, Tahoe. Best wishes to Cam. He's in the hospital. We're praying for you, brother.
He's an incredible human being. He's done so much for me and my family. When my dad passed away, he was there.
Awesome. He's awesome.
Yeah. All right, that does it for us. For Jeremy, I'm Spencer. Shout out to Elder Vi Sikahema. Enjoy General Conference weekend. Go Cougs.